There is a light that can overcome the darkness. There is no darkness that can overcome the light.
There is a light that can overcome the darkness. There is no darkness that can overcome the light.
Creator of unfailing light, give that same light to
those. Hello, my friend, it's Dan Riley, and I'm sitting with one you hear often here. So rather than the usual podcast, hopefully this is a reflection with I and a dear friend of mine, Cyprian Consilio, who is now the prior at a wonderful, wonderful monastery in Big Sur. So among other things, if you're in the West Coast or in the East and looking for a place of prayer, you might come here. Cyprian, why don't I let you just say a word or two about yourself, and we can see if we hand this back and forth. I've never done a duo on this, so go for it, my brother.
About myself.
Whatever you'd like to.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So yeah, as Dan mentioned, I'm now the prior of our community here in Big Sur. We're Camaldolese Benedictines, a small congregation within the larger Benedictine Confederation, which is usually what we call the order. Very small. We're under 100 monks in the whole world now. Kind of specialized by our charism, which is called the threefold good. Right in the middle of it is community life, like most Benedictine monks, you know, a communal life devoted to liturgical prayer, communal prayer, and communal support. But on either side of that, what our founder, St. Romuald, brought into the congregation was solitude, brought in the eremitical dimension, which had been kind of absent in Western monasticism up until his time, which would have been right around the turn of the first millennium of the Christian era. So he died in 1027. And on the other side of that, some of his first disciples were missionary martyrs sent up into Poland and Hungary, which at the time were, you know, very hostile territories. They went to spread the gospel, but mainly just by being there, living there. In some way, the monastic life itself is a kind of an evangelical tool, just to experience the monastic life. But they were murdered by local people. So that's our charism, the threefold good, we call it. Solitude, community, and evangelium, the evangelization through a special gift of apostolate, of martyrdom.
So let's see if I can jump into that with you. It's wonderful to hear you talk about your background. Some of it is refreshing a memory for me, and then telling me things I didn't know about Romuald and your early brothers. And I'd say our world now is treacherous in some way, and yet you and I look at it as a way of wanting to befriend it.
Yeah.
And we obviously have a movement in the church led by our Pope that really would invite us to trust Evangelium, that rich movement of the Spirit to bring good news to all people.
Yeah.
And I would say that's, you're a rock star, so going bold. You have gone out in the world. Father Cyprian, before he was a monk, was also a rock musician. And now you know him mostly through his music, if you listened here before. He's been on our Bonaventure campus. What he and I share, besides a wonderful friendship, is a deep desire to be open to people of all traditions. Mm-hmm. And I would say from within our Catholic Christian experience. Yeah. So there's this radical place of a Christ breaking out in the world again, I would say through music, prayer, and where you were in solitude.
Yeah.
And now a lot of these podcasts open up in people's lives in hopefully a way, and if you're listening to us now, you might be testing it out and saying, yes, is Dan telling the truth with his friend Cyprian, that a lot of what we're about here is solitude, shared, quiet. You might be in your car right now, because sometimes some people listen from there, or their back room, or you're sitting with some friends. And I think this is a common, comfortable place for Father Cyprian, and the music he's been doing has reached hearts of all traditions and people. So he's present to me now and to you too, and this is sort of like giving you a lead in to say, what else would you like to say, Cyprian? This is a delight to be sitting with you right now, knowing that we've been having thousands of people listening to these little podcasts now. But from the intimacy you and I are sharing right now, and I would say the depth of that we find in solitude, in other places as well, in God's Word. We were just talking about this sacrament, that God encounters us right now. People are being encountered in this present moment.
Well, back to that issue of the third good, I hesitated before I said the Latin name of it, and I didn't give you the full name. Originally, it was called Evangelium Paganorum, Evangelization of Pagans. And what's interesting about that is both of those words, I think, are misunderstood or misapplied sometimes, especially in our modern understanding. First of all, I want to take the word paganorum, pagans, and I was just at a talk recently where they were talking about, you know, the Christian kind of cultural war against paganism. Mm-hmm. And it depends on how you use that word. The original meaning of it, I think, were people who lived in the country and worshipped other idols, you know, and things like that. But does that mean for you people who don't believe in Jesus? Does that mean people who are from other religions? Does that mean people who are worshipping secular culture? There could be all kinds of different things about that. But also part of our Christian tradition from way back is that we think the pagans actually have gifts to offer. And in some way, even in our day and age, they're way ahead of us in even incarnational theology, you know, the things that people are discovering up at, exactly, at Esalen Institute, and they call themselves a pagan monastery jokingly. What they do about environmental issues and gardening and social justice work, I think, is amazing. And I think of the three wise men, you know, who came and laid their gifts at the feet of Jesus. They were unbelievers or from another tradition, astrologers, but they had gifts to bring to the church. So first of all, that the word pagan, I never use in a pejorative sense anymore. I just mean it as people outside of, you know, visible Christianity who may have their own gifts to bring. And the first word, evangelium, evangelization, what does that mean in this day and age? And when I read the Catholic Church's documents about interreligious dialogue, any kind of evangelization starts out with the ground we share. And the ground we share is our common humanity.
The holy ground is the ground that we share, like the holy city Jerusalem, the prophet's land and my parents' land, the land of peace and the ground that we share. How my heart was glad when I heard the call. Let us go to God's house, let us hasten there. And now our feet are within your walls, in the land of peace and the ground that we share.
And that's why the solitude and the silence are so important. Because in silence and solitude, we're dwelling somehow just in that ground of being. Just our common experience of humanity. And if we don't start there, we have not started in the right place. We're building a house on sand.
Yeah, if I can pick up on that with you, I think this is where a confluence of traditions find a comfort with each other, because the grounding all of us, we almost intuit, and I think we would say it is grace that leads us to that ineffable place where we encounter God.
Yeah.
And there's a solitude, there's a intimacy and friendship. Mm-hmm. And then I would say with you, the humility with which you're not speaking out, but the beauty of your music, because when we're on the road, and I get emotional about it right now, it's opened up moments for people. One of the great songs that we use that some might smile now when they hear me say it is Streams of Living Water.
Streams of living water shall flow from within you. God will wipe away every tear from your eyes. Streams of living water shall flow from within you. God will wipe away every tear from your eyes.
But now there's an image that's in many traditions, and so we're not nullifying it. Certainly that's too huge a word, but we're not trivializing it for ourselves as Christians. When we understand water in multiple ways, but certainly core to our baptismal sense of experience, and this large plunge we make into a dying with Christ to rise up out of in the presence of living waters. And so there's a lot of places where you and I can learn from others. I'm thinking of the Celts as a tribal people who intuitionally or by practice had a place with creation that we as Christians find ourselves accompanying from our place of an understanding of a cosmology that, again, is only now breaking out again, a radical sense of all of Christ's life poured out for us in all of creation. your presence to many others and other traditions. I don't know if you want to comment on that, or particularly how music touches you, that you would share that deep touch of God through music with others.
Yeah, I had one event that I did that these years later stick as kind of an icon for me, because I'm not on the road very much anymore. For 10 years, from 2002 to 2012, I traveled all over the States, but also internationally, you know, in the Mideast and a lot in Southeast Asia, in Europe quite a bit. And I think it was 2011, I had an invitation to do these concerts in Lebanon and Syria, which were called Dialogue Through Music.
Little boy in the rubble with a gun in your hand, can you build from these stones a new house that will last? Little girl undercover, find flower of the land, can you rise from the ashes and ruins of the past? Lebanon, Lebanon, from the fire let the phoenix arise. Lebanon,
it was quite amazing. And I like to say, like here in the States, I had a lot of interaction with Buddhists and Hindus, and quite often it were, you know, Americans who were practicing Buddhist or practicing Hinduism. And it was something kind of safe and easy about it. You know, you could talk about it over a cup of chai and yoga class, you know, something like that. But when you're in the Mideast and you're talking about peace between Jews, Christians, and Muslims, you're in a whole different kettle of fish at that point. Mm-hmm. And suddenly you get a bit of a sense of the danger of this, of asking people to talk to each other. So this one particular trip, I had been invited to do this series of concerts, and it was just exhausting. It was exhausting, and many of the concerts had to be translated into Arabic. You know, I'm saying in English, and somebody's translating it into Arabic. Wipeout. But I also had gotten this invitation to go to Ireland, and so when I was on the road like that, I would string trips together, and you know, so I wouldn't have to cross the ocean too often. So I wound up finishing up in the Holy Land, finishing up in Lebanon and Syria, then going to Paris for one concert, you know. So it was just a wonderful experience. You know, I had always wanted to see France. And so they said, would you mind stopping by Paris? I said, oh, gee, okay. Well. And then since I was going that way, I let people know that I was going to be nearby. And some people in England had me do some work. And then I accepted this invitation in Ireland. Mm-hmm. All that, the story to say, at the end of this long trip, mm-hmm. I wind up at Glenstall Abbey in southern Ireland that has a wonderful tradition of music and art and marvelous new abbot and a singer named Noreen Ryan who lives there, who's an acquaintance of mine. And they invited me, would I mind doing something with their boys choir? It's kind of a highfalutin boys choir, high church music, you know, and I think... Yeah, and they said, it's probably different music than you do yourself, but would you do something with our boys? So we're in this marvelous round room, like a castle, and it felt like Hogwarts, you know. And I think there were 40 or 50 of these kids, middle school, high school kids, all singers. And I sat down on a stool in the middle of this semicircle of these young boys, and I started singing songs with them and telling them stories and having them sing with me.
Wonderful.
And
wonderful.
Telling them about these different traditions and
wonderful.
These different stories from
where I had been.
Oh. And I was thinking, like in all humility,
you know,
if I were a kid, wonderful. I would have loved this.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So not only were they hearing from somebody who had been there, but they were singing songs from that tradition.
Mm.
I would tell them about that tradition, and now let's sing something from Buddhism. Let's sing something from Islam. And so not only was the dialogue happening inside of me, it started happening inside of them, because they were actually embodying it. That's what happens in music. You actually somehow embody somebody's experience. You can enter into the experience. Because the best of sacred music, this is a definition I heard years ago, is not the sound of us searching for God. I think the best of sacred music is the sound of us having been found by God. So when we're singing those kind of things, we're singing this experience of what it's like to have been touched by the divine and mm-hmm. somebody else's experience of it, and hoping that it would happen in us as well.
You've had a rich, rich experience here. I'm really grateful Cyprian's taken some time with us. I met him in the middle of the garden here, a rainy, rainy garden. It's been a deluge here where California needs a lot of water, streams of living water, and music, as you've just spoken about it. And I'm really treasuring this, and I'm sure those of you who are listening have a chance to, too. I want to thank again Greg Lacamelli, who lives way down in Fairfax, Virginia, as we're way out here in California, and has been producing these for a long time and sharing them with others. He's, I think, been at concerts with you, Cyprian, but he's been listening to your music, recorded, thank you, from Assisi to Rome to the mountain and other places. And soon there'll be a gathering in Virginia with Maura and Wendy and others who are continuing to gather as mountain people in different places. And I have a sense of a conjoining of your tradition and ours. So it's a special thank you I offer you as a brother from the Franciscan tradition to you as a rich, rich brother for me in the Camaldolese tradition. Listen to us. Take time, and especially now listen to God who's moving in your life in song, in the conversations maybe of your family that you'll rejoin in a moment. Or if you're in your workplace, there's a new discovery there. And all of that happens, I think, as we treasure the silence that is within and without us, and the one who holds us in that quiet now with great love. And your brother Dan Riley saying, thank you for taking time to listen to what for me was a wonderful conversation here. Greg, thanks for stirring us to have this one. Peace to all of you.
An echo of your peace. May I always seek much more to give than to receive. May I offer healing as you have healed me. And may I be an echo of your peace. Lord, I see hatred. Let me bring your love. Lord, I see wounded souls, let me bring forgiveness. Lord, I see despair, let me bring some hope to all who live. And let me seek not to be consoled, but to offer consolation, and to be understood, but to understand, to be loved, but to love. And I want to be,
Lord, I want to be an echo of your peace.
May I always seek much more to give than to receive.
May I offer healing as you have healed.